I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
What is it? What is it that when you enter it, it enters you? It is a riddle. A riddle. Holy Spirit? Good guess. Not the answer. Might be true, but not the answer I'm looking for, Joni. Okay. Were you here when I did the parable series the first time around? Yeah? Does that seem like 6 years ago to you? 6 years ago. I was just a kid. 45. I've redone 14 of the 30 parables since then. The last one I redid was 2 years ago. And so that leaves 16 to weave into this series of simultaneous series that we're putting together. Very complex knot, I'm going to explain in a minute, but it can seem that way. But we're adding puzzling parables to the mix. We're also adding two more series to the mix as well. I'll explain in a minute. The mainstay of this series, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, will be interweaving the gospel stories, taking those stories in the gospels that are similar and weaving them together. And I'm going to be giving you the pieces. We're going to talk. We're launching it next Sunday. We've got the website going. Something else is coming. We'll dive in next Sunday. Until then, ask you this. Do you tend to keep Jesus in a box? That's a rhetorical question. You do, because we all do. I'm reminded again and again by the people that I surround myself with for perspective. Reminded again and again, I've got my Bruce blinders on. I'm reading the Bible the way I want to see it. I'm looking at Jesus the way I want to see him. I'm keeping him in my box. I don't mean to. It's hard not to. We all do. Disciples did. And we're like the disciples. We get anxious when Jesus speaks in ways that are unfamiliar or puzzling. And so we just ignore it. Or we just interpret it however we want. That's not good, but we do it. 2 weeks ago, I presented my little version of Jesus' hollering hypocrite message, if you were here for that. And then said, we don't think of Jesus speaking that way. He speaks in a lot of ways that we don't think of Jesus as speaking at. And yet, Jesus said, his sheep are led by knowing and following his voice. So, that's pretty important to know his voice. How confident are you that you know his voice? See, I'm quick to say, oh yeah, I know it. Do I? Or do I know the version I keep in the box? How do you think Jesus sounds? Just in your head right now, how do you think Jesus sounds? That's your box. That's the box you try to keep him in. But trying to keep Jesus in a box is like trying to keep him in a tomb. Just don't work. It just don't work. He is incredibly multifaceted, and Jesus sounds like whatever the situation calls for. You read scripture, he's just incredibly confrontational with a whip 1 minute and then turning and comforting the next. Because he is always whatever the situation calls for, perfectly. So, with our five simultaneous series, by the way, there's five series now. It's up to five. I'm stopping at five. We got five series that we're juggling right now. And what we're doing, we're becoming like children. We talked about this. We're seeking, asking, knocking. But we're going to open our eyes and our ears and our boxes. Some of you are nervous about the complexity. You've said to me, I don't know how I'm going to keep trying. How are you going to, with all these things, like juggling, I don't get. Okay, you see the picture here? It's going to be fun. See the big box on the bottom weaving the word? Twice a month, I'm going to give you scriptures to take home. And you're going to weave them together, and then you're going to come back, and we're going to talk about them. So you'll have 2 weeks to do that. And then at least once a month, we're going to open one of the game boxes on the top four there. connecting the jots, the classic line upon line scripture search. We've done that. That's the one we did with the grapes and the yeast, where we connect the icons of the Bible. And then puzzling parables. We're going to fit these in as well. Collecting the critters. We're going to go on the hunt in scripture for the animals that are used to help us understand Jesus. There's a lot of animals that are compared to the Messiah for different reasons. We're going to go hunt them down. That's where, and we might even have to have some live animals in here, I'm thinking. That's where that ostrich is going to come in handy. And then, guess who? The Bible people game. We're going to get to know the people who got to know him, because we need to see Jesus in all these different ways. This series is going for a long time, and it is all orbiting around Jesus, because we're going to learn his voice more so than we ever have. This is what, believe it or not, this is what I've been building to over many years with what the 3 years in Romans and then in the Route 66. No, it was the parables and the Route 66 and Joseph. Those were all pieces to help me as a teacher to get the theology, to get the message, his message, to get the sweeping story, how, the saga, how it all fits, and then to dive into his Bible, the Old Testament, because he's the completion. I'm off script. I got to get back over on the page. Okay, so that's what we're going to be doing right there. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, you know what? We might need a huge version of that over the entrance and direct people to the website, hpwordplay.com, where you'll be able to download the verses for, talk about it next week. This message is this. Do you tend to approach your Bible with duty or delight? For the vast majority, that's a rhetorical question. It's duty. It's duty. So what is it that when you enter it, it enters you? Joni, you got another guess? Here's a hint. God's word. Joni's not hearing. You can't get that kind of sleep at home. God's word. You enter it, it enters you. How would your world change? How would your world personally change if his word was actually your delight? How would your relationships change? How would your faith change? How would your joy and your peace change? How would your medication change? How would your world change if his word was truly your delight? I don't mean symbolically, theoretically, metaphorically. You know, oh, God's word is my delight, Pastor Bruce. Oh, gross. I don't mean spiritual weird talk that isn't grounded in earthly reality. I mean the stuff that lives out those windows tomorrow in the real world. I mean actually, what if his word was your favorite, like your favorite game or sport or hobby or show or dessert? What if your greatest joy was entering his word? Can you imagine how your life would change? And what if the key was simply letting him out of your box? Getting to know who he really is. What if it started operating under its own power to motivate once you begin to see? Because the box we keep him in is what keeps the Bible so dull and boring, perverts it into a book it was never meant to be, makes him so predictable, which is the polar opposite of what Jesus was. What if you could spend a lifetime being surprised and amazed by him? Would you want this? Would you want this? Because you can. It's all about how we perceive his word, which is his voice. That's his voice to us. To the degree that we find his word dull, repetitive, uninteresting, tedious, boring, and blah, we aren't hearing his voice. That's not his voice. We're not seeing him for who he is. So what are you going to do about it? Just keep the blinders on? Close your eyes to it? Or are you going to seek the real Jesus? Because that's the question. I mean, that's what we all have to wrestle with. And it's funny, you look in the Bible, Jesus didn't speak the way his own disciples thought he should. He was funny. He was entertaining. Wow, was he entertaining. Surprising, shocking, offensive, frightening, unpredictable, and delightful. Just absolutely delightful. Look at, here's what the people had to say who actually sat and listened to him. Mark records at 12:37, the large crowd listened to him with delight. I'm so glad that's in the Bible. There's so many words that could have ended that sentence. Delight, because that was the word. Apparently not so large a crowd the day that photo was taken, but the front row is always sparse. That's just, it's been that way since Jesus' day. Brian, I think I see you right there. Jesus knew how to capture attention, stir emotion, and leave an impression like no other. So much so that his disciples were often really bothered by it. Bothered by the way he spoke and taught, and especially the way he offended the Pharisees, the religious men that they respected, the conservatives. He's always offending them. Because the Pharisees were all about duty. Duty over delight. He dutied all over delight. I threw that in for you. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, Matthew records, listen and understand. Okay, two very different things. Just by sitting here and not closing your ears, you're listening. But it's a choice to understand, and it's work to understand, and you have to think, and it takes brain power. Listen and understand. And Jesus needs to say this because he always says things in ambiguous ways. Some seem simple to us now because we weren't then. He says, what goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean. Exactly the opposite of what the Pharisees taught. Everyone would have went, what? But what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. Thank you. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? When they heard, big difference between hearing and understanding. He replied, yes, I did this on purpose because the Pharisees are self-righteous. No, Jesus never talks like that. That's way too clear. That's way too blah. No, Jesus is always poking, prodding, inviting. He's always saying, what do you think I mean by this? What does he say? He replied, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into the pit. Peter said, oh, I get it. Their pride has blinded them to the truth of God's grace. No, that's not what Peter said. What did Peter say? Now explain that to us. We don't even understand your answers to the questions. Peter said, explain the parable to us. And Jesus said, read it with me. Are you still so dull? Read it the way you would say it if you meant it. Are you still so dull? That's how Jesus talks. Now who's dull? Now ain't Jesus. Jesus is the one saying, what's with you dull people? Two things especially delighted Jesus. We see it again and again. One's obedient faith. He sees obedient faith and he is all over that. The other is insightful, smart thinking, insightful sparring, fighting, debating, insightful sparring. Oh, Jesus seems to live for it, loves it. You know the story that follows this? Right, there it is. Right after he says, are you still so dull? And then he explains a little bit more. It goes right into the story of the Canaanite woman, a non-Jew, who bursts into a room where she's not supposed to be. Let's pick it up in Matthew 15:25. The Canaanite woman came and knelt before Jesus. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, because she's not a Jew and he hadn't died on the cross, he replied, I'm sorry, but I can't. I have to fulfill my Jewish mission before I can offer myself to Gentiles. No, that's not how Jesus talks. That's not how, what does he say to her? Lord, help me. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. That's how Jesus talks. Yes, Lord, she said. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Forget Jew and Gentile. Your request is granted. Are you guys seeing this? And it's a woman, and she's not even Jewish. You should be ashamed. Look, this is what faith is. Great faith. This is what great faith looks like. How is that faith? She violated religious law, which he liked whenever it was the tradition of men. He hated it when it violated an actual command of God. But she violates these traditions of men just by entering in and interrupting. And on top of that, now she challenges him? No, she doesn't. Look closely. She requests his help. He challenges her, as he did everyone. It's why they all were so mad at him all the time and so confused. And this is how Jesus speaks. He challenges us. He challenges you again and again and again. The Bible isn't a list of rules. Here's what you do. He doesn't want another batch of Pharisees. Didn't come to bring another law. Came to challenge us. So that's why when you read it, you go, I don't get the Bible. Right. That's the point. You got to take his hand and ask for his spirit to lead you in, and you got to go look for the answers. Where am I at? I'm off the page again. Okay. Unlike the Pharisees and quite often his own disciples, this woman, look, she listened and understood and accepted his challenge. In other words, she came to play. If this is the game you're playing, Jesus, I'm playing. And he was thrilled. When do we see Jesus this excited? There's a few times. That's what hearing his voice looks like. You know, you might say, well, I'm confused. That's okay. Everyone in that room was confused. Oh, this is great faith, gentlemen. We don't understand anything you say or do, Jesus. That's okay. You just keep following. See, here's the thing. When Jesus spoke, the Pharisees listened and said, you're corrupt. The disciples listened and said, you're unclear. But this woman listened and said, dogs and bread. Dogs and bread, eh? Okay. So I'm the dog. If I'm the dog, then you're my master, and I'm under the table, and where's my crumbs? And Jesus says, oh, now we're playing. Now she's learning and growing and becoming and developing. Because that's what he wants. We want answers, because we want to be in charge. He's the answer, and he's in charge, and he wants us to deduce and reflect and respond, because it's about relationship, and it's about growth. And so he looks at this woman, brilliant, humble, faithful. Yes, this Gentile woman gets it, and literally gets whatever she wants. What's your request? It's granted. See, the disciples didn't act this way. When you look at how the disciples treated it, they're not sparring so much as scolding a lot. Remember when Peter, this is like at the end of their ministry, they've been together for 3 years. Peter takes Jesus aside and rebukes him for what he's saying. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Never good when God calls you Satan. I don't know that there's a bigger, more poignant insult. Well, all I can say is good thing we don't rebuke Jesus, right? You'd never rebuke Jesus like that. We're not like Peter. Your mother ever say to you, "Why are you wearing that?" Or your wife ever say, "Why are you wearing that?" Or your husband ever say, "Why are you, you look lovely, dear?" Point is, we often ask why as a way to veil our disapproval. That's what we do. Why'd you cut your hair so short? And I think there's a large degree of this going on in our passage. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables? You know, don't you want them to understand what you're saying?" I can hear Peter kindly, ignorantly, you know, saying, "Jesus, why don't you just explain to me what you're trying to get across and let me speak for you? I kind of have a gift for telling it like it is." Which do you do when Jesus appears to be unclear or unloving or unwise in your real life? Do you scold him? Do you scold him for not acting like a loving God with why? Because that's how we scold God, with our disapproval. Or do you accept the challenge, roll up your sleeves, enter into a deeper walk? Here we go, Jesus. If this is, okay, if this is the game, I'm in. I'm ready. I'm trained. Let's roll up our sleeves. Just tell me what to do. Let's get to work. This is horrible, and I don't know what to do. I don't have the foggiest notion, but I've never been out on this limb before with you. You might have heard Eric Metaxas. He spoke at the Pregnancy Choices fundraiser. Got his book, read it, love this quote out of Everything You Always Wanted to Know About God. He writes, "God is in the business of surprising us. We think we know which direction he's headed, but then he takes a left turn. We don't get it until after the fact." And it's a lot like when someone tells a riddle or a joke. We don't see it coming, but when we hear the answer to the riddle or the punchline to the joke, it makes perfect sense. There's a surprise factor involved, and a deeply satisfying sense of having our desire for meaning fulfilled. And it always comes out of left field somehow. That's the whole point of it. Love that. Because it's all about the pursuit and the reveal. Pursuit and the reveal. So when the disciples asked Jesus, why do you speak in parables? He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them." Who's them? Am I them? I hope I'm not. How do I know if I'm them? Them who? And what are the secrets? The secrets of the kingdom? Well, we know what the secrets are, because if you go on a hunt through the New Testament, it's all over the place, the mysteries, the secrets. Paul sums it up to the Colossians in 1:27. "The glorious riches of this mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory." There it is. There it is in a nutshell. Jesus is the secret. Jesus is the mystery. He's the mystery they miss out on. And why do them miss out on it? Jesus says, in Jesus' fashion, here's his answer. Why do they miss out? "Because whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." What's that mean, Jesus? Exactly. No, I mean, what's it mean? Right. What's it mean? You tell me. No, you tell me. If I wanted to tell you, I would have written it more plainly. I want you to tell me. What does that mean? I don't know. I'd have to go study or something. them. Well, I did study, so I'm just going to give you the answer. I'm nicer than Jesus. No, that's a joke. I'm just a really bad joke. Them are those who don't have. That's what he says. Them are those who don't have. So the real question is, don't have what? Oh, it's all over the place in the New Testament. Don't have eyes that see and don't have ears that hear. Putting it in our language today in the message, don't have boxes they're willing to open, blinders they're willing to take off. That's who them is. And if you're wondering if you're them, you're not, because the wondering is the proof. Them don't wonder if they're them. They're the ones seeking Jesus for what they want, not who he is. Why do you speak in parables, Jesus? Oh, because parables require pursuit. And Jesus is always all about pursuit, pondering, deduction, reflection, response. So how are you pursuing him? How are you pursuing him? In what ways? In our passage, he says, this is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though here, classic Jesus again. Classic Jesus, trying to pull us in, trying to make us think, trying to make us ask why. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, a riddle in its own day. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. You see, listening and understanding, two different things. Reading and sparring, two different things. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. This can describe, I'm sorry I have to drop such painful words on you, but this can describe so many of our Bible reading habits. This people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. See, the great mystery remains unavailable to those who take no initiative to open their eyes or their ears or their box or their Bible, because they don't even give Jesus a chance to reveal himself. They've got him pegged so wrong, but they're so sure they're so right that they can't even force themselves to give him a chance to show himself. And then he says something absolutely incredible to the disciples. But blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. If I was a disciple there, I'd say, are you mocking us? I don't get it. Why? Is that an insult? His response is hilarious and amazing at the same time, because they don't see it. They don't hear it. They came to Jesus with this half-scolding question precisely because they didn't get it. And he says, oh, blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. So you don't have to have all the answers. You just have to have all the relationship, the willing heart, sincerely seeking an answer. That's what they're doing. They went to him. Even their approach is wrong. And he doesn't seem to care. They've come to the right person. And they're asking questions. And in his response, you can almost hear him saying, you don't know it yet, but your eyes are blessed, though you have no idea yet what they're seeing, just as your ears are blessed, though you're completely clueless as to what they're hearing. But you'll get it. You will. You'll see it. Keep looking. Pursue me. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't settle. Because when you see it, you're going to be so shocked who I really am. Jesus was never a question and answer man. You just don't see that in Scripture. He's a question and question man. He asks a question. Somebody asks for clarification. He asks another question. Somebody asks him a question. He asks them a question. There are so many question marks in Jesus' words, in the red words. Because you see, you have to grapple if you're going to grow. You can't follow him if you don't know his voice. And you can't know his voice if you don't know his word. It's really that simple. And that's what this whole series is about. This whole series of all these things we're juggling and playing with, we're finding different ways to get into his word, hold his hand, and discover how to hear his voice, how to follow after him. And it's going to be a lot of fun. As you seek and pursue, you will know when your eyes and ears are truly open and your blinders are off. And you know how? Because when that happens, when you enter his word, you will find something incredible. You'll find that you no longer study and examine it, but it studies and examines you. And that's when you know he's out of the box and you're hearing his voice. Let's pray. Father God, we worship you with open eyes and ears and hearts, and we worship you with praise and pursuit as our greatest love. Holy Spirit, help us to know your voice and respond to your call to enter your word and grapple and grow. Lord Jesus, we proclaim you as our deepest joy. We declare our heart's desire to seek and deduce and reflect and respond to you, to know you better. And in your name, everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.